Hey, so last 2 weeks, does this sound loud? My red light's on already.
I'll grab another.
Okay. I'll go ahead and use it here till it dies. The last 2 weeks, week one, we studied what evidence exists separate and apart from the Bible that proves it's complete and accurate. Last week, we talked about, is there evidence in the Bible itself that proves that it's true.
Thanks.
Today we're going to try to cover three or four questions this morning. And those are, who wrote the Bible? How long did it take to write the Bible? How do I know it's inspired by God? And we'll probably talk about what material the original writings were made on. And I don't think I've said this before, but if you want my notes, I'll be happy to email them to you. Obviously, I don't have them all done yet. I'm doing it as I go. But if you want notes from this, which includes not the quotes, but includes the reference to the readings that I'm doing from the secular writers, that's in there. And I'm going to. Today I'm going to probably read more from them than I have in the past. So, again, take that for what it's worth. They're not inspired. Okay. So, who wrote the Bible? We all know, right? We've got how many writers of the Old Testament? No. How many writers of the Old Testament? How many writers of the whole Bible?
40.
How many of the New Testament? So how many does that leave for the Old Testament? Okay. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? Okay. About 32 writers of the Old Testament. It's early in the morning. And about 8 of the New Testament. And I want to spend a little time with Moses. We know Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, which is called what? The Pentateuch. And this covered about the first 2,600 years from creation until the time of Moses. So that brings up a lot of questions if you think about it. Now there's different ways. Light's red again already, Clayton. We'll just let it run, see what happens. So there's a couple ways of thinking about Moses and his inspiration, and you might want to be thinking about that. Was the inspiration of the first
of the writing of the Bible for the first 2,600 years, and we're talking basically about the book of Genesis, just about the book of Genesis, was it in the same manner as the New Testament writers or the prophets in the Old Testament? You might want to think about that as we're going through here. Most of the writers of the Bible, now I didn't do a big study on this, and this is from my own knowledge, and if you have other information, let's talk about it. But I think most of the writers, other than Moses, wrote about events of the time period of their life. And also they prophesied, obviously, about events way far into the future. But the current events, I guess you might say, of their that they wrote about were in the time period that they lived. But not so with Moses and the book of Genesis. Now, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers, yes. It was the law and the Exodus that he was a part of, and all of the Levitical priesthood rites, etc., that we know Moses wrote, and that's about the period. That's his time, life period. But as I said, Moses was born about 1400 BC, which was 1,000 years after the flood. Okay, so Moses was long after the flood when he was born, about 1,000 years. So, if we start from the year 4000 B.C. until the time Moses was born, 2600 years had already elapsed. 2600 years had already gone. So something I'd like for us to think about is, and I want to read a little bit about this, but...
So that's pretty much just Genesis then, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's the book of Genesis.
The book of Genesis.
Yeah.
And his name is not, there's no indication in the book, is it?
I don't believe so. I don't believe so. Of Moses?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. So I guess what something I'd like for us to think about, and I don't really have an answer for this right now, but it's something I've really not thought about before until I've been studying this. Did God just open the mind of Moses and cause him to write by inspiration all the things that we have in Genesis, the first 2600 years of earth? That's kind of the impression I've always been under. And that may have been the way it was. But I think there's a case for, there may be a case for a different way that it happened, although we certainly know it was inspired and caused by God and infallible because it came from God. So I want to read a little bit here from H.A. Talley, and it's in page 56. This is about Moses and his... the first five books. This much is certain. Moses could have written the Pentateuch. Of course, we believe that he did, but he's taking an objective approach here. He was educated in the palace of Pharaoh, instructed in all the wisdom and learning of the Egyptians, which included the literary profession. He probably knew more about previous world history than anyone now knows. He was leader and organizer of a movement which he believed to be of immense importance to all future generations. Could he have been so stupid as to trust the annals and principles of his movement to oral transmission alone? Or in other words, did Moses just rely on word of mouth to write the whole book of Genesis about the first 2,600 years of the world? In other words, this person said this, and this person said that, and using third-hand knowledge, would Moses have done that? Surely not. I don't think anyone would believe that. However, Moses did make use of writing, Exodus 17, 14, 24, and 4. There's several passages here in Exodus and Deuteronomy where it shows that Moses was writing. As for Genesis, it seems he used records which had come down from previous generations. Now, that's the tally stuff. As for Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, they all had to do with his own life work and no doubt were written under his own personal direction. Phenomena of stratification in the record are abundantly accounted for by the use of earlier documents of such antiquity and sanctity that Moses refrained from alteration or too damaging integration. Okay, I don't know how helpful that is, but I wanted to read it. We'll have some more of the same life in a minute. But we know that when we talk about writings, how early did God's people record history, their history? How early did they record things that happened in the world, like possibly the flood or other events maybe that we don't even know about? Well, first of all, and I've mentioned this before, writing and records existed at least 1,000 years before Moses. Writing and records. And I'm not saying this is writings of God's people, but wouldn't it make sense that God's people, as well as all people, would do that? Do you keep records of your family history, or do you keep records of other things? Do you write, jot things down? We know that all families do that, some a whole lot more than others. We know that there were libraries even before the time of Abraham found in Ur. So way back in the time of Abraham. So I think my thought is, and if you think about it, I think you'll agree that records surely must have been kept by God's people, as well as people who were not God's people. You've got Adam, Seth, and I'm talking about God's, the lineage, from Adam to Jesus is the lineage I'm talking about. We've got Adam, Seth, Cain, up to Abraham, and on and on. Let me read again from Hallis, and then I've got one read from Life, but this is from page 70 and 71 of Hallis. He has done some chronological work on the lives of people who overlap other people's lives, and it really gives me a lot of open to write it for me. Let's see here. The third document, and this is talking about, he calls this the book of the generations of Adam. This would be Genesis 5 and 1 to chapter 6 and 8. The third document composing the book of Genesis, it carries the story of the 500th year of Noah's life, chapter 5, verse 32. It may have been started by Adam, continued by Enoch and Methuselah, and completed by Noah. Copies of this and the two previous documents may have been made by Noah on clay tablets and buried, as the tradition says, at Sippar. Copies may have been taken into the ark. There is a tradition, I don't know that it's ever been proved, but they're among some of the, well, I don't remember which nationality it was. I think it's the Egyptians. That Noah recorded information about building the ark, about the flood, and buried some of these tablets before the flood, and then they were dug up later. And there's also tradition that he made recorded information about building the ark, etc., and took it with him on the ark. That's word of mouth. So, but isn't that possible? If you worked 120 years on something, isn't that surely possible that you would want to pass that on and somehow record that and it be left to your descendants? Here's a thought. Let's see here. Here's a statement about Methuselah. Methuselah was the oldest of the ten, or in other words, the ten patriarchs descended from, the first ten descended from Adam. Son of Enoch, of course, lived 969 years. His life overlapped that of Adam by 243 years, and that of Shem by 98 years. Okay, so Shem was a son of Noah who lived through the flood. And he probably, and no doubt, knew Methuselah the first 98 years of his life. When we think about God's people, remember they all lived in close proximity in that Euphrates Valley. And were they all righteous? No, probably not. We know Noah's father was an idolater. We're told that in the book James, it's in the New Testament, I've got it written down somewhere. But they were blood relatives, so they very well knew each other and very likely passed on this oral tradition. That's how it may have survived after the flood, even if it was not written down, in that the three sons of Noah who lived after the flood, and Noah himself, could have passed this on down. But which one was righteous? Well, we refer to Shem as the righteous one. Now, Japheth may have also been somewhat righteous, but we know that Ham was not. And Ham was went to Egypt. But let me read also from this is from Neil Lightfoot.
While you're looking for that, Mike, yeah. I was looking at Exodus, and I think you referenced this. There was some, writings in Exodus, but it says in Exodus 17:14, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of God." And it goes on. But there's just one example
well, we've got, I've got several of them to give us here in just a minute, of God instructing Moses to write and him writing. And I think this is part of it right here. Okay, this is from Neil Lightfoot. In the beginning, God spoke to man directly, but the time came when it was necessary for the divine will to be put in a more permanent form. In other words, it was God's purpose that by means of a written record, all succeeding generations would receive God's word. So think about it. If, you know, the little game where you tell, you whisper a word or a few words in someone's ear, and they whisper in somebody else's ear, and the time it gets to about the fifth or sixth person is totally different. Well, think about people trying to remember the history of the creation of the world or the genealogy of mankind. If it was not written down, it would just be totally out of whack immediately. But God caused, you know, that's the reason we have the Bible. The first person mentioned in the Bible as writing any things Moses did in the period of about 1350 to 1225 BC. There are six instances attributed to his hand. Exodus 17:14, the memorial concerning Amalek. Exodus 24:4, the covenant at Sinai. Exodus 34:27, the Ten Commandments. Numbers 33:2. Deuteronomy 31:9. Deuteronomy 31:22. Direct wording where God told Moses, write this down. Or God, in the face of the Ten Commandments, God wrote it and gave it to Moses. And of course, he wrote it later on. Also, Moses is held by strict Jewish traditions, being the author of the first five books, the Pentateuch, and other writers. And Jesus gives support to this claim as well in Joshua, Judges, Malachi, Luke, and John. So here we have other writers and Christ himself making reference to Moses being the writer of the Pentateuch. Okay.
All this you've been saying, Mike, has made me think of this verse in Jude where it says, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of the saints, take judgment on all to convict all who are ungodly among them, all their ungodly deeds that they have committed, their ungodly ways, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have committed against him. And that's the end of the quote. Well, we don't have a record of that anywhere except right here in the book of Jude. I don't think, do we? We don't have any, I can't think of anything that Enoch wrote or that we know of. They even refers to something that he wrote, but
yet we know that he did.
But yeah, so and how did Jude know this? I don't know, but he knew it.
When you think about the overall picture, and we're going to talk about this a little later on about writers of the New Testament, when you think about the overall picture, the Bible that we have is just a very small fragment of the entire lives of the writers. In other words, pick out like Jeremiah or Isaiah, those big, huge books, okay, those prophecies that they wrote and stuff. But even that, it's just almost a tiny, tiny percentage of what they said, what they did. But that's the part that God wanted us to know. That's the part God wanted preserved in his book for us. Because that's the part of that person's life that was important to our salvation. So, I know that I have looked at it, you know, just take it for granted. Well, that's what Isaiah did or Jeremiah did. Well, yeah, I did, but what else did they do? Okay, let's, here's a little chronology of lives from Halley again. And he has, what he has done is he has taken the lives of the first 20 generations, the length of the lives, and then figured out, and anybody can do it, if you figure out how long each person lived and when they had their son that's made reference to, how much their lives overlap to advance the chronology by word of mouth or by writing. According to these figures, it was 1,656 years from Adam to the flood. Then 427 years flood to Abraham. So Abraham born 427 years after the flood. Adam's life overlapped Methuselah by 243. Methuselah overlapped Noah by 600. We know that Methuselah died the year of the flood. Now, and I've always wondered, and I don't think we'll ever know, but did he die in the flood? Was he wicked when he died, or was he righteous and died and then the flood came? I've always thought he was righteous, but I can't prove that. Methuselah overlapped Shem by 98, who was a survivor of the flood, remember. There was 126 years between the death of Adam and the birth of Noah. So Adam died shortly before Noah was born, but yet there was Methuselah in there to carry forward whatever information from Adam. Think about that. Think about that. Here's Methuselah who knew and walked with Adam. And he, no doubt, told Noah face to face all about the creation. All about Adam and Eve and Satan and being driven from the Garden of Eden. And Noah told his sons. And they survived the flood and carried that forward. Noah lived 350 years after the flood, died 2 years before the birth of Abraham. Shem lived 98 years before the flood and 502 after the flood. Shem was still alive 75 years after Abraham entered Canaan. Think about that. Abraham came up out of Ur, up to Haran, and then back down to Canaan and lived there for 75 years, and Shem was still alive from the flood.
Do you think Shem was there?
I don't know. Do we just don't know? He may have been with him.
You mean in the land of Canaan?
Yeah.
Hallie thinks that Shem is Melchizedek. And it makes sense because their lives, would, even if he wasn't, their lives overlap. We know that Methuselah and Abraham were alive at the same time, right? So, yeah, they were. What did I say? Not Methuselah, Melchizedek. Melchizedek and Abraham were alive because Abraham gave him tithes, right? Okay. Shem was alive for 75 years while Abraham was in Canaan. So Shem may have been, and we know Shem was a priest, and he came out of where? Came out of Jerusalem. Wasn't called that then. But these were God's people, and God kept his people together. So it's a very distinct possibility. That's all we read on.
Does he talk anything about Job? Now? I mean, because we kind of get Job back in that era, but there's nothing I said about it, is it?
I don't think that I have read anything about Job so far in this time period from now. No. Yeah, I don't. Okay, let's go on here. The Old Testament was written from about, and we know Moses was born in 1400, and how old was he when he died? 120. So he wrote the first five books before he died, obviously. So we attribute that to about 1500. The Old Testament written from about 1500 up until 400 B.C., okay, 400 years before Christ is when the book of Malachi was written. And then nothing for 400 years until the time of Christ. The New Testament was written from about 40 A.D. to 95 A.D. And, of course, finished by the Apostle John. That time period was only 55 to 60 years. So the overall time period from when the Old Testament began to be written until the New Testament was finished was about 1,560 years. So about 1,500 years out of the 6,000 years of existence of the earth is when it was, how long it took. The New Testament authors and Jesus quote 31 books of the Old Testament. We find that in the New Testament. The Old Testament is referred to in 31, or they quote 31 books. Josephus, writing in the first century after Christ, said that no book was added to the Hebrew Scriptures after the time of Malachi. And you certainly lived in the period, and he's a historian of the period. Any thoughts about who wrote the Bible? Now, I just wanted to bring that, you know, I don't really have an answer for how the inspiration of Moses worked for the book of Genesis, but I find it very possible that, you know, documents could have been given to him, recorded by Noah, Seth, others, even before then, and then their testimony about, for example, the Garden of Eden or creation, along with the documents, and God preserved all of that and caused those people to give him the correct information. I think that's a distinct possibility. I also think it's very distinctly possible that God just said, Moses, this is how it happened from the beginning, right? Yeah. You know, as we see the New Testament author.
So did he probably write after the flood? Did he probably put it together with the Pentateuch?
Well, yeah, he wasn't even born until 1,000 years after.
He had sketches of it all along. He probably took some, like you said, on the ark. But
oh, you mean Noah?
Noah. Did he actually write it after, probably after the flood? Because he still lived, what, another 300 years?
Yeah, long time. I don't know. I don't know. I would, you know, typically people usually write quite some time after events happen. Now, some people will keep a written daily journal, you know, or log. People that are, you know, really good historians. I'm not one for doing that at all. I just don't hardly write anything down like that. But I had a grandmother that would, every tiny little thing she had record of. People came from all kinds of states just to get information about their family. And some people do it, some people don't. So, but it's definitely a possibility. Okay.
Well, the one thing I think about, like you mentioned about Jeremiah. Jeremiah just had all the stuff that he was, and he would say this to the people.
Right.
So, I guess God just put it in his head and he'd just say it.
Yeah. Well, the apostles were told, don't worry about what you're even going to say. You're going to be brought before kings and people in power. Don't study. Don't read ahead. And what would they study? Didn't have anything written down. God just opened their mouth and the Holy Spirit spoke through them. So,
it'd be just as easy for God to say, write this down.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
As opposed to,
exactly. And I'm not saying it's the way it happened, but I truly believe it could have. So, just something to think about. Okay. What about inspiration? I just have very little on this. How do we know the Bible is inspired by God? Well, you know, everything you've talked about in 3 weeks up till now, to me, proves that it is. Prophecy proves that it is. Archaeology proves that it is. Just the existence of the Bible shows that. And we're going to learn more about that. We'll learn more about that in the next few weeks when we talk about the preservation and translation from the original languages that the Bible was written in. And I think that's a really interesting part of the study is how did the Bible get from those writers into this language? And is it the same? Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what material were the original documents written on. What was the first writing of the Bible? The very first.
You mentioned clay.
Before that. Of the Bible.
Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments. On stone. On rock. And not once, but twice. God did that twice. Then we know that Moses recorded it, obviously. He wrote it. Moses didn't love the Ten Commandments around with him all the time. Where were they put? In the ark. And so Moses recorded the Ten Commandments and all of the law that Moses wrote. We call the Law of Moses. All of the hundreds, thousands of laws that came about from the Ten Commandments were written on something else. Moses didn't chisel them into stone himself. Not to say that certain things may have been written in stone. We know the Egyptians did in a big way. But and Moses was raised where? In Egypt. So the modern writing stock or material of the day in Egypt at the time of Moses was what?
Papyrus.
Yeah. Papyrus was a reed that grew in the marshes. It was 2 to 3, maybe sometimes 4 inches wide, sometimes 15 feet tall. And what they would do is take it and they would slice it, roll it out flat, and they would dry it, and then they would weave it, just a simple basket weave, and they would make this thick paper out of it. And as long as they kept it from getting brittle, whatever their methods were, they could roll it up. They could make scrolls out of it if they want to. They could make sheets out of it and write on it. And so, let me read here from Halley, page 45, about that. The words writing, book, and ink are common to all branches of the Semitic language. And when I'm talking about the Semites, we're talking about the descendants of Shem, okay, which seems to indicate that writing in a book with ink must have been known to the earliest Semites before they separated into the various races. And this would have been when? Anybody have a thought on that?
Well, the Tower of Babel, is that what you're thinking about?
Well, possibly, but probably after the flood, when the three sons of Noah went their separate ways and started the different races or nationalities of people.
So, say that again. Who were the Semites?
The descendants of Shem. And you got the Japheth, and then we're going to talk about that maybe tonight or next week. We'll talk more about that. In Babylonia, it was mostly on clay tablets. We're talking about writing here. And obviously, Babylon, the nation or the civilization of Babylon, began before Egypt, because we know that all men came from Babylonia, the Euphrates Valley, where God put man to start with. So Babylonia is mostly on clay tablets. The Egyptians used stone, leather, and papyrus. Papyrus, the forerunner of paper, was made from the reeds, which grew in marshes 2 to 3 inches in diameter and 10 to 15 feet high. It was sliced and placed crossways in alternate layers, moistened and pressed, and made into sheets or rolls, usually about 1 foot wide and 1 to 10 foot long, this papyrus. Broken pottery was sometimes used for writing. I don't know if they mean that's what they use for an ink pen or what. He doesn't say anything. I haven't seen anything about what they made their ink from, but it would probably be dyes of some kind, maybe from plants or animals, maybe animal blood even. And we know that some of the New Testament, and possibly the Old, was written on parchment. What's parchment? Is a skin, and usually of a calf, a young calf. It was they would use the skin, obviously. I don't know if they would tan it or not, but they had some process where they obviously would clean all the flesh off the skin and keep it supple where they could roll it up, because if you didn't, it would dry out and break. And that was pretty expensive. Probably only the elite had that.
Mike, did you, in your study, did you find out just the actual being able to write something down and put it to take your words and put it into writing? Who started that?
Halley talks about is even back maybe all the way back to Adam. You know, you remember Adam lived 920 years. He had hundreds of years to figure out how to communicate by written means before he died. Now, whether he did or not, I don't think anybody can show, but there's pictures in this little handbook of tablets found pre-flood with, you know, under the antediluvian layer of mud that they know existed before the flood from digs. And there are seals, there are pictures denoting, you know, if you look at this picture long enough, you can figure out, well, something happened here. Like the kings, the pharaohs would put reliefs on obelisks or on walls about their great victories. And they would have images of themselves and people bowing down before them or cutting heads off or whatever. Well, that tells us a story. You know, I'm Pharaoh and I conquered this nation. Pretty crude, but it goes way, way back. And I don't know that anyone truly knows exactly how far back, but long before the flood. Okay.
Isn't some of this Bible literature supposed to be some of the earliest in the world?
The clay tablets?
Well, things that kind of go along with that. I mean,
well, there is inscriptions and writings that support events such as the flood, such as creation, that were made by people who are not considered the family of God, but yet they're important. They agree with the Bible.
Most nations had a story of the flood.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I don't remember which verse it was that I read, but one of these writers listed about 10 different nations that had their own version of the flood. And it was interesting to read those, because obviously some of them made it to their own benefit. One of them said there was a great flood, and so-and-so, their ancestor, I think it was Chinese, I'm not sure, escaped the flood, and wasn't in the ark, but he escaped and started our race. So there's a lot of information. Okay, we're about out of time here. So what was the remainder of the Old Testament and the New Testament written on? Most all of it. Well, probably papyrus. It was the most abundant we know. And we'll talk about just for a minute manuscripts. When I say manuscripts, I mean not original documents. These are copies, sometimes of fragments, usually of fragments of the Old and New Testament. Here's a question for you. Are there any original writings of the Old or New Testament still in existence? Any original writings? Whether it's stone, whether it's papyrus, leather, parchment. I think Dwayne's right. Now, I don't know that I can prove that, but I don't believe that there's any museum or any civilization that even claims to have an original document of writing of the Bible.
Well, I think that's probably by design, too.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen what the apostate church has done with a lot of things that are at least claimed to be real things, right? They become worshipable. It's probably why God, you know, had why the Ark of the Covenant is lost.
Yeah.
Because what would happen? It would be worship. The same thing would happen if we had original text. It would be worship.
Where's the cup that Jesus drank from at the Last Supper? Where are all these things that are so important? Well, I think it's for the same reason that God said, "You shall not make any picture of me. You shall not make any graven image of me. I'm too wonderful for you to put. You can't express what I am in your physical way." I think the same thing applies. Okay, we're going to close for now. Thank you for your thoughts and hope it's been interesting.